Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Jerry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Jerry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm excited to announce that we have a special guest with us today. Dave McKay is a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, Michael.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
I want to begin, I want to convey Sherry's apologies.
Yes.
For not being on the show tonight. She really wanted to, but she's gotten down with a little something.
She's a little bug.
So I'm pinch hitting for her.
Tonight. Great.
As soon as she's back up on her feet, she'll be back on air.
Oh, great. Great. And I'm excited that you're here with us today.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'm having a little trouble hearing you, Michael.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble hearing you, too. So I will speak up as much as I can.
Okay, and I'll do the same.
Okay, good. Dave, I understand there's been a buzz of activity at the monastery.
Yeah, that is for sure. We're in the middle
yeah.
of a month-long retreat. It started May 1st. It goes through May 31st. And, you know, it's actually been quite some time since we've had such a big crowd here.
Yeah.
We've got 12 people here for the month, and we just finished a retreat that Sherry did where we had a completely full house.
Wow.
And so it was really fun and a really powerful time. And so it's a time, I think, for all of us of kind of just pure practice, kind of setting things aside. You know, we're doing so much these days all over the place. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the work in Africa.
Yeah.
We've got a celebration happening in a couple of days down in Palo Alto, and so there's activity around that. But kind of at the center of all is the practice that we do. And so it's just, I think it's been, I can speak for myself, and I think I can speak for the other monks here, too, that it's been a really neat time so far, and it's continuing, of just kind of refreshment of practice and remembering why we're here, remembering what we're doing, and you know, getting some extra sits in and all of that. And so it's really been a good time for us.
Great. So there's a month-long retreat with 12 retreatants there and kind of a refreshing revitalization of practice.
Yeah, it is. You know, and, you know, for me, I bet you everybody who's involved intimately with this organization would say the same thing, that, you know, that's really what it's all about, you know, for us. You know, I look at, you know, we're doing some neat things, and I actually feel really privileged because I get to do some really neat parts of it, you know, like the Africa work in particular, and travel around, you know, I get to go and do workshops and retreats at different places, and so there's a lot of neat stuff that I get to do. And I know, like, people in my life who like my family and stuff, who really aren't involved in the monastery, they really see that, and they say, wow, you have such an interesting and exciting life, and it's really true. But in a way, that's not really what it's all about for me.
Yes.
You know, it's about practice. It's just about letting go, being in the moment, breathing, just being here. Really, that's the only thing that ultimately is important to me. I feel really fortunate that I get to do all this other stuff too, and that it can be done kind of in a context of practice. But
yes.
When it comes right down to it, it's just about letting go. It's just about being in the moment and experiencing myself in this life that I have. You know, really, that's all that is really ultimately important to me.
Wow, it's about letting go and being in the moment,
mm-hmm.
and experiencing the life that you have.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it's neat. It's a neat time, and I don't know if this is your experience too, Michael, but my experience of it is, you know, when we remember that, you know, when we let go of the content, and that's not to say that we're not doing the content, but just we're just remembering in the middle of the content that the practice is the most important thing, and that's the center of everything that we do. There's just a lot of energy that happens with that.
Yes.
You know, a lot of excitement, a lot of willingness to participate, a lot of willingness to just kind of jump into life and say yes, because it feels like that's where the juice is. You know, that's where all of the life is that's available. It's just right here, right now, being in this, in my body, being in this experience I'm having right now, and you know, taking care of myself in that. And
mm-hmm.
you know, when that's happening, then you know, it's like everything else becomes easy, and everything else becomes, you know, fun and joyful.
Yes, yes. And it is my experience. I do have a similar experience. It feels to me like it's the always coming back to the moment, to the practice, that enables all of these other seemingly disparate activities to really hold together.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and they don't even have to be practice sorts of activities either.
Yes.
Right? I mean, mine all are, just because of my life circumstances. You know, everything that I do is practice. But it could be, you know, just relating to your spouse, or, you know, being at work and kind of being yourself in work.
Yeah.
Or any number of things. You know, it's like life everywhere is giving us the opportunity just to be here and see who we are. You know,
yeah.
In other words, life is just giving us an opportunity to practice. And
yeah.
It really doesn't matter what form that takes.
Thanks for that reminder. That's great. Dave, I wanted to let you know that we have two callers.
Okay, let's bring them on.
Okay, great. I'd like to welcome Roger from Vermont. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hey, Roger.
Hey, Dave.
What's going on?
Well, it's really exciting that you're on the radio show. I really wanted to call in because I had a sort of an experience of, I don't really know how to describe it, but I was really in a situation where I was just extremely identified with, I don't know if you'd call it a subpersonality or self-hate or whatever, but it was with somebody who just didn't want to, you know, do anything. And
Before you go on, let me clarify that for anybody who's listening who might not understand what you're saying.
Okay.
What you're saying is you're in some situation in your life and you found yourself not being who you really are, we might say. You could say that you found yourself in a story. You found yourself in a part of you who kind of looks at the world from a real particular point of view, and this point of view is, I don't want to do anything. And you found yourself kind of, that was going on, you felt kind of stuck in it.
Yeah, that's, thanks for putting it that way. I really felt really stuck, and it felt just so familiar, like, here it is again, kind
uh-huh.
of feeling.
No surprises.
Right, and then what happened was I've been practicing with these audio tapes that I have made as a result of doing the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And the person I was with knew that I had been doing that. And at one point, she just said to me, why don't you listen to your tape?
This is an outside person who said this?
Yeah, yeah.
That's handy.
Well, and it was, the experience was that I was then in a, when she said that, I was in this situation where the, you know, the inner voices just told me, don't do that. Don't listen to that tape.
Mm-hmm. So you've got this support that I don't want to tell people exactly what it is, because I don't want to give it away for people who
right.
who might come do the retreat, but you've got this report, this form of support that we've cooked up.
Yeah.
And it tends to, this is in the language that we use in this practice, it tends to cause you to disidentify.
Right.
It causes you to kind of step out of this little suffering place that you're stuck in and maybe, you know, have a chance of having a larger, more expansive, more, you know, happy kind of experience. But in the situation you're describing, you're not interested in that because you're in the story. And when you're in the story, you just want to be in the story, and you want to be identified. But you just happen to have somebody outside who probably could sense that was going on, and said, "Hey, well, why don't you listen to the tape?" But you found yourself not wanting to.
Well, yeah, and there was a moment there where I was like, "Wait a minute." You know, another part of me was saying, "Wait a minute. That tape is a good thing. Why don't I want to listen to it?"
Yeah, and that's the moment we're practicing for, don't you think?
I really think so.
Yeah, I mean, of course, this is Zen, so we can't say that we're going for anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, but if we were, that would be it. You know, we're suffering. We're stuck in a story. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, that this conversation in the mind. I'm sure Sherry talks about that every week. You know, there's this conversation in our minds that's going on that we're believing that's causing us to leave the moment that we're living in and live in some kind of a story. And they always have a tinge of, you know, dissatisfaction or unhappiness or deprivation or, you know, those kinds of things. You know, all the different ways that we suffer. And
right.
we're practicing for the awareness of how we do that. And sometimes, you know, like you're saying, you're just going along, you're stuck, you're practicing. You're, like you said, saying you recognize that this is familiar. There's nothing new about this, but you just feel like you're stuck in it. And then here comes one of those moments where it's kind of like life pays off. You know, we're putting quarters slot machine. You know, we're putting quarters in the slot machine, saying, you know, I just know if I just keep showing up, if I just keep bringing my attention back to the moment, it's gonna pay off. And then every once in a while, we pull the handle, and there you go. We there it is. We can see what's going on, and we step back, and we just have a completely different relationship with ourselves.
Yeah. So, some part of me just said, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not listen to it?
Mm-hmm.
And so I did, and it was like instantaneous. As soon as I heard, you know, the first sentence, it was like that whole identified part of me just evaporated.
Yeah, and I would bet you that you had already done it essentially by that point.
Huh.
You know, I mean, this is kind of, we don't tell people this a lot of times when we give them that little tool.
Yeah.
But, you know, the whole point of it is not even about what's on the tape.
Uh-huh.
That if you find, and this is what happened for you, I think, if you find within yourself the willingness to use the tool, you've already disidentified.
Huh.
You know, because only the heart would be willing to do that.
Right.
Only the heart would be willing to say, you know, I can see that I'm suffering. I don't want to suffer. I want another option. I've got a way of having a different life experience right now in this moment. And then right there, as you kind of reach for the support, and in this case, it's the tape recorder. Could be lots of other things, too, that we've kind of got set up. You know, in that, it's like you push through that kind of, the sort of the dedication or the addiction to suffering, and you've kind of stepped into another place.
Yeah, yeah. So, wow, that's really fascinating to hear you say that. So I just wanted to report that because it's something that I'm just tremendously grateful for, because that experience, you know, I've done this work on my own a lot,
mm-hmm.
but doing it in this situation with this other person,
mm-hmm.
I feel this, it's like because of that experience, I know that what those voices were telling me is not real, it's not true, I don't have to believe it. It's like having that experience in this situation, it's kind of like exposes the sort of falsity of that kind of identified place.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it does. It brings into the light of day where we can see it. And of course, what you can do is you can become for yourself what that other person was for you in that instance.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think I'm sure this is happening for you already, where without any outside influence at all, you wake up. You know, you recognize that, hey, wait a second, I've got a tape. I got this tape I can listen to, or I could turn in a radio show, or I could look at maybe a book that Sherry's written. You know,
right.
I could reach for the supports that are available.
Right.
You can become more and more sort of your own. It's a funny way of talking about it, but more and more your own teacher in a way. You know, more and more for yourself, the kind of reminder of what you really want. You know, of the life that you really want for yourself, which it's easy to project is beyond suffering.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thanks a lot, Dave.
Yeah, thank you too, Roger. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Okay, take care.
You too.
Thanks for joining us, Roger. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Our special guest today is Dave McKay, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. Dave, we have another caller.
Great, let's do it.
I'd like to welcome Beth from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Beth.
Hi. I'd like to talk about conscious compassionate awareness.
Okay, that seems like a good topic.
I have, for most of my life, had these major emotional storms.
Okay.
That I go through. And quite often I go through them at the monastery.
Yeah, people tend to.
Yeah, and I've always hated them. And, you know, it's like, to be honest, it's been one of my major motivators in doing practice and finding a way to manage them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Which
I can't imagine that's actually worked.
No, it hasn't.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but I've been practicing recently with allowing.
Uh-huh,
kind of like
okay.
Allowing things to come up.
Mm-hmm.
I have been seeing my mother with a therapist for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me kind of a clue in that babies, if they live in this constant fear state, the nurturing part of the brain doesn't develop.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden I had some understanding of my emotional storms. So I had something I could carry around. I could understand it.
I see. Okay.
And it was
and
fun.
That didn't particularly work either. Am I right?
Well, no. But what it did do is it kind of opened up some compassion.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And it's being like they're automatic. They're not anything I've heard one of the monks before say, you know, you don't have any control of what comes up on the outside. You don't have any control of what comes up on the inside.
Okay. So what you're describing, tell me if I'm on track here, what you're describing is really a change in your relationship with those emotions. Before.
And I would love to say that's true.
Well, that's what you're describing, I think. In the past.
Well, it is. I mean, and it's like, yeah, but I can still feel that hatred of them underneath. Kind of that
yeah,
sense of
so
I'm a really bad person because I have these.
So in the past,
wrong with
the habit would be to have the emotion come up and then to hate it.
Yeah.
So that's one possibility. And, of course, that's the relationship that keeps it in place. It keeps the suffering around it in place.
Because yeah, it keeps me very small.
Because there's nothing in the emotion itself that implies any kind of suffering. All that's going on is you've got a lot of what you're calling emotion.
Right,
and there's
no self-nurturing to counterbalance that, so it just kind of goes out of control.
Right, and so what you found out is that there's another place that you can be in relationship to those emotions where instead of hating it, you're kind of allowing it, I think you said, or we might even
right.
say embracing it.
Kind of like turning toward it instead of away from it,
because mm-hmm.
normally I just kind of like tend to hide. I don't want anybody to see that I'm going through this because it identifies me as a weak person.
Right, which is more a part of the suffering, isn't it?
Right. So instead of like hiding from it, which has never really worked anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so much what we all struggle with because it could be emotion. It could be something else. It could be any kind of experience that we're having. It could be even like something in the body. And there's nothing naturally in anything that we might experience that would cause us to suffer. You know, there's nothing to suffer over. You know, it's just life is just what it is in this moment. I mean, that's not to say something might not be painful, but that's really different than suffering. The way that we cause ourselves to suffer is to separate ourselves from whatever experience we're having and then have essentially a self-hating relationship with that experience.
Right.
And that's what you're talking
right.
about. You know, I hate
yeah.
this.
And it's like, you know, for a long time, it's like I listened to Sherry talk about the mentor, and it's like, okay, I need to experience this, so I kind of let my mind go in with a clipboard and experience it.
Right.
And study it.
Yeah, you're still maintaining that basic relationship of suffering where you're not experiencing it.
Exactly.
There's a funny way in this that's kind of hard to talk about where, you know, the way to actually experience it is for you to not be there.
Okay.
You know? I mean, we could talk about it from either side.
Yes, I see that.
You know, the experience is there, and it's there with compassion. It's there with, you know, that nurturing that you're talking about. But that doesn't come from conditioned mind. You know, that doesn't come from something that calls itself, I'm doing little quote marks with my fingers now, I.
Yeah.
That comes from the absence of I. So that's why we can say, you know, the what we're looking for happens when we're not there. You know, when I isn't there, what's naturally there is that nurturing, you know, that compassion. We might even say, you know, that mentor who can actually experience what's going on without identifying in some way, like what Roger was talking about earlier, without identifying in some way with some aspect of suffering to bring it into something that serves conditioned mind.
Right. So it's kind of like there was this point of allowing this stuff to happen and kind of not being there. I mean, what you're talking about is it's just not really, just kind of, wow. Let me try that again.
Yeah, well, and of course, for me, I don't know if this is the way it is for you too, Beth, but for me, what happens then is even if it's something that's difficult, you know, because life is presenting us all the time with things that seem difficult, you know, that seem painful or
out of control.
Out of control or like they're really just big things that seem just too hard to let go of, you know?
Right.
Even when it's something like that, when we actually have the experience of it in ourselves, we feel alive.
Yes,
you know,
that's what I kind of was finding. Like, it's like if I could sink into it and just allow it to be there, and particularly with kindness and compassion, it really wasn't there.
Yeah, it really isn't something like strong emotion. You know, it really isn't. It isn't anything we can really name. It's just it. You know, a lot of times, basically, what it comes down to is just the physical experience of being a being with a physical body on this earth.
Yeah.
We dump all kinds of stories and meanings and interpretations on that. We have all kinds of bizarre relationships with that where we're trying to make it different or channeling it into kind of activities that sabotage what's going on. You know, all kinds of stuff that we do. And all that is just in service to suffering. You know, when we get at that, you know, when we're here, and that's another way of talking about what you're talking about, that you know, being in that place of nurturing compassion, when we're here, we get it that there really isn't anything going on except just this really simple, basic experience that a lot of times is just happening in the body.
That I've survived many times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that word survive is an interesting one because I'm going to use my little quote marks with my fingers again. You know, you've survived it. That, even that is a relationship with it.
Yes, it is.
You know,
it is.
Because without, in the place that you're describing of that compassion, there's nothing to survive. It's just, there's nothing going on, except you're just in your body in the middle of this day with whatever's going on, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I heard a quote yesterday from the Dalai Lama where he said that kindness is my religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been kind of like seeing that's really what I'm practicing. Kind of kindness for myself and kindness, well, I mean, not even for myself because there's no me there, but just kind of like when I approach things with kindness, it's kind of like more of a centered place.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not a problem.
So the closest thing that there is to a kind of a me there is the parts of you who still believe that suffering is real.
And yeah.
You know, I think that's what you're talking about. You know, in the place of being present that we're talking about, you can get it that there isn't anything really that's real. You know, the only thing that is anything like real is just this pure experience that I'm having right now in this moment without thought. But there's parts of you who still believe all that, all this stuff. Believe it.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Very much trying to make a living and survive and figure things out.
So you have the opportunity to be the wisdom that those parts of you are looking for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just by being present, just by understanding that yourself, it's like osmosis or something. You know, then everybody inside of you benefits from that because there's somebody here, you know. And we might even say, you know, mama's here. You know, somebody here is a grown-up, somebody who understands how it is, who isn't deceived by all of this crazy story-making that goes on in our minds, who is just present
in the willingness.
The actual physical experience that's going on.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a point when my willingness is like, you know, I get afraid. And then it's like I have these behaviors that I think I need to do.
Yeah, so that would be the arrival of one of those parts of you.
And right.
If you go,
right, but then it's like when the willingness there to
head down that road, then that's going to lead you right to suffering.
Yes.
But if instead, you know, you're practicing something else, you're practicing staying here, and then instead of heading off into suffering, being able to provide the kindness for that part of you who that they're looking for.
Yes, and I have to say that I'm very grateful for the radio show.
Yep.
It's kind of like my Tuesday nights, and call in or not, it's an opportunity to remember.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of what Roger was talking about with the tape recorder. You know, we just if we're willing for it, we just have to take advantage of every opportunity we've got to get support because you know this thing that you and I are talking about right now, this kind of basic movement from suffering to, you know, to kindness or to even one even say freedom is really simple to talk about. It's a lifetime of work to accomplish, and so we need as much support as we can as we go through that, and the radio show is a really good form of it, and there's lots of other forms of it too.
And it's kind of the moment-by-moment aspect of it because, you know, it's like there are moments when I'm willing and centered, and it's like then the next moment comes, and I get to do it again.
Right. So you need something that you have to show up for.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got something every day that I've kind of structured that into.
All right, great.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks a lot, Beth.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. As you may have noticed, Sherry's not here with us today. She's got a little bug.
It's pretty obvious, isn't it, Michael?
What's that?
It's pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yes, yes. And so our special guest is Dave McKay, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. I'm really excited to be talking with him today. And you have the opportunity to talk with him also. The phone lines are open here, and you can reach us toll-free in North America at 866-613-1612. So give us a call. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Phone lines are open here today. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can reach us toll-free in North America at 866-613-1612. And we've had some callers from further away than North America also. And those of you further away can reach us at 001-858-268-3068. So give us a call. We'll be glad to talk with you. Dave, I was thinking, as you were talking about having the month-long retreat in Stair,
mm-hmm.
and sort of a revitalization of practice,
mm-hmm.
it reminds me of Sherry talking about this is a sitting practice.
Uh-huh.
And for me, you know, I'm involved in a lot of different aspects of Living Compassion.
Mm-hmm.
With the radio show and the reflective listening buddies. And sometimes I can forget or get so engrossed in that content that I forget it's a sitting practice.
Right. You forget that the sitting is really the fundamental support that's available.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's all of it is helpful, and to the best of my abilities, I bring the mind of meditation, and it feels like the sitting practice is kind of the basic training.
Yeah, it's so true. Like even with what we were just talking about with Beth, you know, all of that becomes available. I was looking at this over the break, actually. All of that becomes available when we just allow our attention just to be here in the moment.
Yes.
You know, and of course you hear people say that all the time. That's, you know, being in the moment, that's the hottest thing that there is, right? But that doesn't make it untrue. You know, it's just so true. That's all it's about. It's just taking this attention that we have that tends to just wander all over the place and get stuck in all these really unhappy places, and just bring it back to here where there's nothing going on but peace and well-being. And we have to, in order for us to be able to develop that skill, we have to practice it. And we have to practice it on a daily basis, and that's what the sitting's all about. So I think you're really right.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting, too, because if there are choices between things to do that are related to practice, somebody will choose the sitting last.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's not very surprising, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah. You know, because with the other stuff, you know, it's all really supportive of practice. But to some extent, you know, we get to think, you know, we get to figure things out. We get to have something to do.
Yes.
You know? Which is, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a big piece of this practice that we offer. But, you know, that's not available in sitting. So with sitting, you know, there's nothing going on, but really, I am attempting to take my life away from conditioning.
Yes.
You know, just on the most pure kind of fundamental level, just by, you know, conditioned mind grabs my attention, it pulls it off into some kind of karmic story, and then I bring it back. And then in that, I find out who I am is the power to do that. It's the power to master my own attention. And that what I really want for myself is to be here, not to be in conditioned mind.
Yes.
And it pulls away again, and then I bring it back, and I see that again for myself, and it pulls away just over and over and over again. You know, we have to have that as a part of our practice, or else, you know, the other stuff, we'll understand it, but we won't actually be able to live it in the way
yes.
that we want to.
Yes. And to me, as you're talking in that way, that's really the fundamental thing, in my experience, that happens during sitting practice.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, there's nothing going on, there's nothing to do, and so I really have the best opportunity to see how I get carried away.
Yeah, that's so true. Yep. And, you know, over time, I bet that you have this experience also, it becomes a refuge.
Yes.
You know, it becomes, instead of something to sort of avoid and dread, and, you know, a lot of people talk about that when they start out.
It's like, yes.
Oh, my gosh, you know, I'm supposed to just sit here?
Yes.
What do you mean? I mean, I can't do that. You
yes.
know, and people feel there's just this incredible resistance to just, you know, at least from my point of view, just being with themselves.
Yes.
You know, because that's really all that's going on. But after a while, as we get used to it and we realize how wonderful that feels to have our own attention, you know, how much peace it brings into life, how much ease and well-being it brings into things that might otherwise be just too overwhelming and difficult to handle, then we begin to look forward to it. You know, we begin to realize that, you know, this is a place where, you know, I just get to be me. You know, there's a guy here, one of the guys on the retreat here was talking about it the other day. He's talking about, you know, he's always thought of sitting as something he should do. And he's willing
yes.
to do it, but it was just kind of, it's kind of a chore, you know, it's kind of a thing. And,
yes.
And what he got was, and it is, of course, it's especially obvious here, is, you know, I don't have to do anything but sit here.
Right.
You know, I don't have to be anybody, I don't have to please anybody,
yeah.
I don't have to worry if I'm doing it right or doing it wrong. There is no right or wrong. I'm just, all I have to do is sit here. It's like a little mini vacation.
Yes. Great. Dave, we have another caller.
All right, great.
I'd like to welcome Grigsby from Virginia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Grigsby.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Great. I want to say that being at the monastery for the retreat last week was a really wonderful experience.
Uh-huh. It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I really didn't want to leave.
Uh-huh.
I really wished I had planned to stay a month.
Uh-huh. Well, there's more opportunities. If you feel like doing that down the road, we're going to do it again in November.
Well, we'll see. I don't have any really major issues other than adjusting to life back in the world.
Okay.
And since I've been back from the retreat, I've more or less been staying with myself. And, you know, I have the kind of sense that I want to hold on to what I was able to experience at the monastery. And yet, I definitely feel how conditioning is creeping back in, and I'm feeling or seeing myself very much identified with various states of mind.
And that's really to be expected, right, don't you think?
Yeah, I was prepared for that to happen.
Uh-huh.
What makes it perhaps a little more difficult for me is that I'm involved in a very major life transition.
Uh-huh.
I'm actually planning to move from where I've been living and live overseas for a while.
Okay, that is big.
Yeah, and start a new career, in fact, teaching English. That's the content of it.
You're changing everything all at once.
Yeah, and I, in some ways, regret the timing because I feel like the practice and the support I've been getting is so much needed, and realizing that I've set things up, so I'm not going to be able as much to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Although I could always come back.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's the radio show is accessible from overseas, and so is Sherry's going to do an email class in August.
Right.
And so that would be a way to participate also. Also, you can even do like the reflective listening program from overseas. We've got people doing that in Japan and in England right now.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Yeah, I'm aware of these possibilities, and that will make it easier for sure. So, you know, I'm pretty much, I guess the issue for me right now is just being alone without the support around me and working with the conditioning. And pretty much all I usually give to practice is a daily sit.
Mm-hmm.
And then as much awareness the rest of the time as I can bring to my experience.
Yeah, there's an old image in Buddhism, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, where people say that, you know, once you've experienced your enlightenment, it's kind of like carrying a big stack of eggs in a basket.
Yeah.
You know? So you leave a retreat, and, you know, often we leave retreat feeling really connected with ourselves, and I'm projecting that's the experience you had, you know, really expansive, really kind of getting the importance of the work that we've just done and how much we want that in our lives. And we also can sense the fragility of that in a world that doesn't support the heart and doesn't support being present, but supports being off in the stories of conditioned mind instead. And so that's kind of our work, especially for folks who don't live in a monastery, of, you know, taking that basket full of eggs, knowing how fragile it is, and then, you know, keeping the attention on that as we go through life, and attempting to not hold on so much, but practice what we know.
Yeah.
Just practice living from the, we might say, from the deepest or a place of understanding that we have.
Yeah, I do feel that kind of fragility that of which you speak about my inner state, and I feel a lot of caution about, you know, so to speak, getting dirty
uh-huh.
in the world, and I know it's going to happen. It's already been happening.
You might as well jump in with both feet, don't you think?
Yeah.
Especially, you've got a pretty spectacular opportunity. Because, you know, if I'm understanding what you're saying, you're basically dropping all of the content of your life and going to a completely different content.
That's true.
And there's not very many times in life where we have that kind of thing happen. You know, that's big.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it seems to me, anyway, that you have this fantastic opportunity to watch yourself create you in completely new circumstances.
Yeah, and I think about that, and I know, of course, I'm going to see the old me show up as well, of course. But what you say is true. There'll be new parts of myself or new ways of experiencing that I'm sure I'll discover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with the attitude of mind that says, rather than the kind of cautionary, sort of afraid to get dirty, afraid to get tangled in, maybe a little bit worried about getting identified. And instead of that attitude of mind, you know, there's this other attitude of mind that's available that says, who cares? You know, let's just go in there and see what happens.
Yeah.
Trusting that we have this experience inside of what else is possible. It's like we have this kind of ground to walk on, especially if we have, like you're saying, a daily sitting practice, you know, something that brings us back.
Right.
We have something to support us in having this pretty amazing adventure where we go out and we just do stuff all over the place and get identified and then disidentify and see that and then get identified again and swim around in suffering over here and then have a little ecstasy over there and, you know, just get as dirty as we can possibly be, you know, with the idea that, who cares about really sort of what it looks like? It's more about just kind of jumping in and playing the game.
Yeah. There's a concern that's coming from somewhere within me about not being able to come back to center. Because being at the monastery is such a wonderful experience of being, of all the support and the way it's set up to find center. And out in the world, you know, I'm afraid of getting way off.
Right.
And not easily being able to come back. And I know it's not going to be as easy as being at the monastery.
And can you sense how that story takes you away from center?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right to point that out. And that's a story I've been hearing and believing, too.
And, this is easy to say, really hard to do, but if you could not believe that story...
Yeah.
I think, I bet you that what you'd find out is the exact opposite.
Oh, well, that's a great idea. That's a great thing to explore and see.
Yeah. Well, and I just know that because that's always the way it is. You know, conditioned mind is cooking up that story for you, right? It's cooking up a story to keep you from being centered. And it just so happens that the story is about how you can't be centered. That's just a particular version of it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just so much the case that conditioning is telling us the opposite of what's true. You know, it would have no reason to tell you that story if it weren't afraid of you being centered.
Yeah.
You know, if you were just flailing around, being identified all the time, with no awareness, having no idea what was going on, which is probably, you know, how it was at one time in your life.
Yep.
But not anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, one time before you began to practice awareness, conditioning could do, you know, pretty much have its way with you all the time, and it doesn't have to really even hardly maintain itself except just in little bits. But with this awareness that you have, okay, it needs to put a little more effort into making sure that you believe something that'll take away what's really true, and it just about always presents you with the complete opposite of what's really so.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're right.
Well, and there's a way to find out, of course.
That's true.
And this takes a lot of guts, you know. But, heck, you know, we're only in this life one time. Why not give it a shot?
Yeah.
But it really connects what we were just talking about. You know, to not believe that story
mm-hmm.
gives you the place from which to just jump into life and get dirty.
Well, you know, as I think about that, I realize I've had what could be called a kind of dependency, and the dependency has been on a lot of different things, including finding other teachers or groups to help me develop or grow spiritually or be aware. And so I guess now I get the opportunity to become more self-motivated or to be able to do that for myself.
Exactly, kind of like we were talking about at the beginning of the call. You know, and life is so kind in that way. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but it's always given us exactly what we need.
Yeah.
You know, because, boy, I just really hear you.
Not always what we want.
No, rarely what we want.
Right.
In my experience, but so much what we need.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, this is not to say that what we were talking about before about the importance of support is not true, because it really is. It's important to be with people who are practicing, to you know, get as much of that kind of support as possible. But the support that we're gathering is not a dependency, like you're saying.
Right.
That we're learning how to be that for ourselves.
Right.
We need that support as long as we don't live, essentially we don't live practice. You know, we don't live that support. And that's neat. It's neat to hear you talking about, you know, sort of making that transition into being that for yourself.
Well, I know I wouldn't be doing this were it not that I had found this practice, mm-hmm. and had begun to practice it.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just the world life is just too darn scary.
Yeah.
You know, I just got to find somewhere to play safe and just hole up and just hope I can stay there until I, you know, kick the bucket.
Yeah.
But without that, you know, without that fear, you know, once we have a practice that begins to teach us what's really going on,
uh-huh.
you know, and who we really are, there's no reason not to get out there and do whatever we want to.
Yeah. Yep. Well, thank you very much. It's been good talking with you.
Yeah, it's been good talking with you. Thanks for calling in. Sure appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, take care. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Grigsby. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Our special guest today is Dave McKay, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphys, California. Coming near the end of our show here. Dave, I found that conversation really inspiring.
Mm, that's great.
I like what you were saying about just jumping in and getting dirty.
Yeah.
It's really,
else that makes everything more fun.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I look at myself, and, you know, it's easy to project kind of walking around in the world and looking and seeing what's going on that, you know, there's just a lot of fear out there.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of people making choices for a lot less than is possible for them.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Making choices for a lot less than what is possible for them.
Yeah. Making choices to be safe, you know, to not risk anything.
Yes.
And then, you know, when we get it that there isn't anything to risk.
Right.
You know, there's nobody here. There is no me.
Right.
There's this thing that I believe in. It's me that could either be good or bad or right or wrong or could feel like abandoned or could feel frustrated or could feel left out or all the things that we kind of struggle with. When we get it that, you know, none of that is actually real,
mm-hmm.
and it's really pretty amazing. We can just get out there and experiment. You know, find out without all that, who am I?
Yes.
What is it like to be alive, really, on this planet?
Uh-huh.
Not just somebody who's suffering in this little bitty kind of identified place, but as someone who doesn't care about being safe, who really wants to see what's going on.
Uh-huh. Wow. Yeah, it reminds me of Grigsby just stepping out into a whole new set of content in his life.
Yeah, and it's of course it's not. We're not talking about kind of going to the other side of the duality where. Okay, well, I'm just going to, anything conditioned mind pops, throws into my head that
right.
says I'm going to do, that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
That's not it at all. What we're talking about is kind of stepping out of the whole kind of storm of conditioned mind into a place where we can see what's so and what is the best for us.
Yes.
And what's the best for us always is to participate, you know, to jump into the life that we're given. And we're all given really different lives.
Yes.
Jump into the life that we're given as completely as we can, with all the willingness that we have, with all of the awareness that we can bring to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the key. All of the awareness that we can bring to it.
And, yes.
You know, that there is nothing, no matter what happens, I mean, we might crash and burn and you know, as we do that, but just that attitude of mind makes a life worth living.
Yes, yes. And I was going to say, just before you said the word participate, you know what Sherry says, participate as much as you can from where you are with what you've got. And that's it. Just jump in, get dirty, see what happens. If there are no standards, then self-hate has nothing to beat me up with afterwards.
Right. There are no consequences.
Yes.
I mean, there are sort of content consequences.
Yes.
Things happen, but there's no consequences in the form of suffering.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That reminds me, actually, the word participate. We've got an event coming up in a couple of days.
Yes, we do.
Do you want to tell people what it is? I think we've probably beat them over the head with it already, but it wouldn't hurt to do it one more time.
Yes. It's Living Compassion's annual celebration, and it's this Thursday evening in Palo Alto.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about everything that we've accomplished over the past year,
mm-hmm.
and celebrating that, and celebrating all of our individual accomplishments as well,
mm-hmm.
and looking forward to the next year.
Yeah, and there's this really cool thing happening. I just found out earlier today that we've been trying to do this webcast thing.
Yes.
And it's working.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it wasn't for a really long time. But
yes.
I think they finally got it sorted out this morning. So I don't even know. How would people find out how to do that, Michael? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I believe they sent an email to support@livingcompassion.org.
Okay, support@livingcompassion.org to find out how to do it's a live simulcast, or whatever you call it, of the
yes.
doing. So the event goes from, help me out here, it's 7 o'clock?
Yeah, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Okay, so it's really late for the East Coasters. But it's
a late night party.
Yeah, pop some popcorn.
Yes.
And it should be really interesting.
Yes, I can't wait to see it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, we've come to the end of our hour here.
Okay, good. Well, it was really fun as usual.
It was really fun. Thanks for showing up today.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
Okay, great. Thank you, Dave.
Hey, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.